count of coins to dazzle the brain. And salts to pay the loins. Get ready to laugh, get ready to drive. Strap on your seatbelt for 9:35. We're the drivers, you're the passengers. It's Clark the Shark with John Hassinger. Sore from work, you better ice it. Get ready, kiddies. It's time to slice it.
Ooh.
We have a great show, so count all the coins to dazzle the brain and saute the loins. Get ready to laugh, get ready to jive. Buckle up, bitch. It's Nerd 35. We'll take the car out of park, and you're the passenger. With Clark the Shark and John Hassinger. Too hot in the city, you better ice it. Buckle up, kiddies. It's time to slice it.
Two people doing this podcast invented it.
Tweet us at the podcast, okay? Underscore podcast, I'll support.
It's
good to see you, brother.
Look at you with the Superman shirt, Superman news,
Philly's mug
with James Gunn taking over that I predicted on this podcast 3 years ago.
Yes,
and,
you did.
I got the John Barenthal's coming back to play Punisher.
Barenthal. Who doesn't love John Barenthal?
No one.
He's great. He's fantastic in everything he does. Even when he did like The Pacific back in before Walking Dead, HBO, the World War II one. He's in that. Yeah. He's in like 3 episodes, kind of a small role. Him and Rami Malek were both in that before they like blew up. Spielberg, man, him and Hanks, they have an eye. They almost everybody in that show just got bigger.
Did you see Fablemans?
No, I have not. Is it good?
I haven't seen it. It's Fablemans. A long one. So you got to buckle up for those.
Yeah.
I literally just got back an hour ago from John Wick 4.
I love John. I love the franchise.
Hey, Jimmy.
Because you know what you're going to get. So you're looking like, what are they going to do different? And when they're in Okinawa and then they're in Paris, the fight sets are like,
Wick.
I don't know, like the most original. Like,
really?
You're like they've run out of ways to do cool car chase, gun shoot scenes. But these guys are like reinventing it in every movie. There's a shot, dude, like an overhead thing where they're going through this old French Victorian house with like a million different rooms, and it's like a drone shot. He's got this gun. When he shoots you with it, you explode into fire.
The legend.
like the gun, when you do it, it's like really nice.
The black kids sitting like 2 seats down from me were like laughing every time somebody got shot because they would like explode.
I love
it. Great fun.
Oh, that's so cool. To the other John Wicks, is it just as good? How does it play out?
I thought this one was different because he's on the run, like he's being hunted. Isn't it always the reverse? Isn't he like going after people?
Yeah, he's usually like the assassin.
Crazy. Yeah. I watched like 1, 2, and 3 in like the span of a weekend, and that was like before the pandemic. So I'm like, I don't really remember much other than just the action being good enough to keep me throughout the whole movie. Like Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious 10. Let's throw that ride at Universal, even though nobody's asking for it. I don't want to see it. I caught up to John Wick really late. I watched, I think after the second one came out, I watched both of those like one night back to back, and then I saw the third one. I really like those. Between that and
big fan.
Yeah, they're just really
good. Not because of Keanu. I just think like he's perfect, but so could anyone in that role.
Right. Yeah. It's like his
history as a human is what makes us love him more for being John Wick.
My whole life I've done things for other people.
But if I was John Wick, I'd be pretty much just as like accomplished as what that character is doing.
Yeah.
For the most part in the sequels. I know in the first one it's pretty brutal. But there's a cool character in this one that kind of is like a neutral middleman. His name is Mr. Nobody. And he's really good. And I'm not sure who plays him. It might be somebody really, really famous.
Yeah.
Or I might be racist, so I'm not going to say.
You know what I like about John Wick? Is, like, in the first one, the mobster's in there. Like, as far out and ridiculous as, or far-fetched the circumstances could be, even though you're in that universe, they're all believable. You know, it's not like they fall into, all right, well, he's going to do this next. They kind of take you for these loops, you know, and they take you, they give you, it's kind of like Taken and Jack Reacher in some parts where they give you what you want right when you do.
I told you I would find you.
And then the parts, they take you for a ride and you're like, oh, I didn't see that coming. Like they,
it reminds
really
me,
well.
It reminded me like, yeah, like there, that universe where it's like nothing else is really going on outside their little universe, like Cobra Kai. It's like karate is really important to these people.
You've been waiting a long time, but we're finally here.
Like, oh, it's going to take over the world.
Karate.
The dojos are going to take over the world. You know what's funny about Cobra Kai? And like, I love Cobra Kai so much, but it's so funny how they... Yeah, what made the show great, what makes it great, yeah, is they just keep adding on. And Cobra Kai knows at this point, like, how ridiculous that is with, like, the dojos are going to take over the world. Like, that's a big thing. But they play on that. Like, it's almost like...
The whole valley.
Yeah, the whole valley.
A valley. Isn't a valley like a neighborhood?
Yeah, all valley. But they play on it where they're like, why are these kids so into karate? And even the characters, like, what's the one girl's name? Peyton List, the main chick from Cobra Kai. Forget her name. But she was in an interview and she was like, how old are we supposed to be? Because we've been in high school for 6 years now. Like, are we in our 20s? And
or like The Simpsons.
Yeah, exactly. And she was talking about how they do a play on, like, they know how ridiculous some of the stuff they do is. And that's like what makes the show so great is that they're not
people
taking it too serious.
I think the people that like bailed on it early didn't stay long enough to realize that like it does get cheesy, but then it lets you know it's aware that it's being cheesy. And that's
exactly,
that's like that, like we, it was like lightning. It's like, it was like a bullseye on a bullseye to figure out how to make that show so good.
Oh, right. Yeah, totally lightning in a bottle. And that set the stage for other things. You know, other shows that didn't do as well, but like Bel Air.
Wake up, Will!
And then they're talking about redoing.
Totally.
There's another one I saw the other day. They're just, it opened up the floodgates for our demographic, you know, like that, the 35 to 45-year-old dudes that grew up watching that stuff. And they did it right.
You're right. It's almost like Star Wars. It's like, we're going to take something because the actors are still alive.
Yeah.
And they're just the same character older. Like, it's never really, they've never really been able to do that just because movies haven't been around long enough for like a generation to get that done. You know what I mean?
You're absolutely right. And they're doing that with, I know you covered on the Comic Con, the Super Mario Brothers, the movie, the trailer.
It's going to be huge, that movie. The movie's going to be fucking huge.
Oh, yeah.
I think people are underestimating how big it's going to be.
It's going to be massive. And just from the trailers, there's so many Easter eggs they snuck in there, like the Tanuki Mario and the, you remember like the little spinies in the first one that like, if you jump on them, they have like the spine thing coming out. There's just like little things in there. Even there was one scene where I think one scene in the trailer, it's like Mario, Princess and Toad walk in and then there's those three boxes and it's the same as the menu on Super Mario Kart. I'm just like,
no
this whole
way.
Thing, yes. The whole thing's going to be nostalgia, like perfection.
You're tickling an anal hair that I needed scratched. I couldn't reach it.
Hey.
Because they are not only that dude with the Mario Kart and with the three things. There's even that scene where Mario and what's his name? Donkey Kong are like running and they're both on a different level. I'm like, they're actually literally putting the literal game, like parts of the game into the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And making it fit and not, you know, not make sense. Like doing it.
Oh, yeah. No, totally.
In the animation that they're doing, it was such a genius move instead of, you know, Leguizamo and Eddie Valiant.
And that movie tried so hard when they did that. Like, all the pieces were there. It was like the Ninja Turtle movies in the early 90s. Like, all of the merchandise and fanfare was there. They just, like, the technology wasn't there to pull that off. You had to use costumes and It was either that or a cartoon. And they made a Mario Brothers cartoon then. Like, I remember on Saturday mornings.
Oh, yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Eddie Valiant. The Mario trailer movie, though, Super Mario Brothers movie trailer, there's a scene where the one you're talking about, Donkey Kong, and, like, he turns red for a second. And that was used. It was like Donkey Kong's Country, or maybe it was Mario Kart. They all kind of run together. But it was like one of those extra layers of where he changes or like power ups. They just threw it in there, but it's only unique to the game. So I'm just thinking it's going to, they like so much detail.
Oh, and, I can't wait.
And it's long overdue. Like if you think about it. Yeah, I was just going to say Mario for games is like what Disney was for movie and cartoons. Like there's, I mean, they just opened up Mario World and Universal here. There's no reason that can't be like as big as Disney at this point with the characters and everything they have. Like, it's just going to be massive.
Dude, I mean, there is no Call of Duty if Mario sucked. Mario had to carry it to Sonic and then Sonic to Madden and then Madden to where we are now.
That's a
world I don't know. But, you know, Mario was like the Hulk Hogan. It was like he did it, and it was good, and everybody else got to ride his tails.
I need a contractor. It's fine. I need an Angie's listing of referrals. I need some what Benjamin Maltain.
Angie's list.
And I need, what the fuck is
I don't
Angie's
trust list? Any. I don't trust any app that has, like, a human's name, and it's theirs. No. Like, Joe's, you know, recommendation or Ask Jeeves. I was like, no. I don't want to ask a guy. I want a robot. Like Google. Yeah. That's like a robot name.
Right. That's where I want chat AI is I want to understand that Angie, somebody I don't know, is not dictating like how much I'm spending on plumbing this weekend. I don't know her. I don't trust her.
I haven't really met many bright Angies.
Wasn't Angie the name of the song did for Bowie when they found Mick Jagger with Bowie?
A woman named Angie married my older brother.
Oh, okay.
That just shows you their intelligence.
There it is.
McGillicuddy.
Mario is to the gaming movies and platforms as Rosa Parks was for the civil rights movement. Hulk Hogan, he did set the thing, a plumber, an Italian plumber. Very stereotypical. They wouldn't make that kind of character today. Set the bar, and that's what happened. It's pretty amazing.
Let me tell you this. We would have no LeBron James if it wasn't for Mario. No, did I get that wrong? We would have Rosa Parks, sorry.
We would have no rights in this country.
Now, when we all were chatting today, obviously we get the early morning text, the ultra motivated 8:30 a.m. So not like ass crack of dawn early, but 8:30 a.m. Eastern. Bob, you guys want to fire up a show? Miss you both. I chimed in. I'm down tonight. And then Clark chimes in at 2 p.m. Pacific. Your grace, perfect idea. I'm free. Sorry for the delay. Let's do it. Bob said, fuck yeah, what time does work? And then I put my phone down for 5 minutes. And then I picked it up and 81 missed messages.
Oh, no.
I was like, what happened? So I just kind of like scrolled through and was like 9:30. Yes. And then I saw like a thumbnail for one of my trailer reactions. And then I saw your schedule, your offerings. April Fool's. It is April Fool's Eve.
It is. It's April Fool's Eve. I wanted to ask you though. You just tickled an anal hair. What's the policy? What's like the social grace, the right thing to do when you don't see when you see like the 80 messages? Do you try to like? Because what I'll do is I'll just go through and try to recap the gist and respond, but I don't want to like ignore them all, but obviously you can't read like 80 messages. How do you handle that? Do you just go off the last one? Like
what's the etiquette? It's like anything that I've been reading since when I was forced to read anything at a young age. I'm going to give the first few sentences a try. And when there's a grammatical error or a name I don't recognize, or even a word I'm not familiar with or a place I'm just going to start skimming and looking for like numbers or like my name or a sidebar individual text from whoever really needs me.
Yeah. Right. That's like the best thing to do, because there's no way you can like gather that much information and come back like nothing happened. And I think it's socially acceptable now. If you don't respond, like people know, like, all right, you know, we inundated you for an hour. So what do you do?
I love how you can get on a, I don't even know what it's called, but you can get to a place with someone where, get back to me when you can, even if it's like 32 days later, like just get back to me. Like, I know that you want to respond to me with some thought, so you don't want to half-ass me.
Yes.
So then get back when I get your full ass and the sack.
Right. You don't want it half-assed, and there's an understanding. Like, I care what you're saying. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm
not going to yada yada you.
I've yada yada'd sex.
Clark, am I reverse? Am I mirror imaged?
Like, touch your right eye with your right hand.
Well, what does this newspaper say behind me?
Oh, it's normal. So you are normal, I guess. You're not mirrored.
Can you read it?
Is USA Today?
Yeah.
What if it was like, it wasn't? I'm like, it says Philadelphia Inquirer. You're like, that's not it. I'm like, well, that's what I see. I'm insane. It's the Beijing Press. It's the Chicago Tribune.
It's a photograph framed of your face.
What is that newspaper, though? Like, I can't see what it is. I just recognize the logo.
You can't read what it says?
No, when you said Bob was chatting, I messed something up, seeing if I can't see it. Now you're going to break something valuable behind you to show my stupid ass, because I can't see it.
Are the letters backward?
Oh, youth jailed. Is that the Trump indictment?
I think our parents weren't alive when they referred to him as a youth.
As a youth, right. What is that story on, though? What is the youth jail? I only see youth jailed in USA Today. Is that
It's the son of a local music hero named Marty McFly. It's from Back to the Future 2.
Oh, youth is that jailed. What it is? I see.
It's okay. Marty Jr. on the cover. You know, it's the one from the movie.
Yeah, because the logo changes. Is all from the 80s, so that's perfect.
Cubs sweep series in 5.
Jaws 27. This time it's personal.
25.
Marshall runs the 3-minute mile. Slam ball playoffs begin, and then like thumb bandits strike. Like, dude, I would love to do like something on all these stories, like do the stories, like did the thumb bandits do?
Right, the thumb bandits could be their own spinoff, like their own sketch.
They stick their thumbs.
Tomorrow we mentioned is April Fool's. It's April Fool's Eve. Now, for people like you and I, it's kind of amateur hour. It's like going out on St. Patrick's Day. Not that you and I are pranking people per se or fooling or whatever, but like none of the gimmicks work on people like you and I. We were meticulously manipulating folk since we were like 8. So
always on the lookout for being manipulated and being told to shut up.
Shut up. Sit down in your corner. But don't you feel like, as April Fool's kind of went away, cuts. I feel like it's not like big anymore because it's like considered mean or something. Is it still around?
I've come to a conclusion. I'm not sure about April Fool's. I feel like there's some people that keep it going. Okay. I remember recently when Maisie Williams was on Jimmy Fallon and she faked that she accidentally spoiled the end of Game of Thrones. And I mean,
Right.
She sold it well. Like, her hands shook and she kind of was like, I have to leave, and then came back. So I think people keep it going. But I was thinking about this today, past couple of days, actually. Christmas was always number one. No question about it. Always number one.
Right.
But lately, past 10 years, Christmas has been a fucking miserable experience. Like, just
because of how much money you have to drop.
Like, you're like, heroin addicts aren't as bad as the chase of the Christmas nostalgia that we all fucking go through as like a nation.
I know. It's so much.
We are heroin addicts for nostalgia, for the mystery, for the magic. And it's like, that's why Heather and I get in a fight every year. I'm like, I want to stay here and just have Christmas here because we have kids now and I can do an awesome Christmas with our family.
Yeah.
But if we try and do it with other families that I moved 1,000 miles away from for a reason, it's all going to explode. It's going to be just like a memory that it's I don't even tears. Really have. I don't remember much. Obviously the girl loved it, but who cares? Yeah.
Fuck no, I remember I saw the pictures this year and Jen and I do the same thing. I'm kind of like, you know, we don't have kids right now, but I'm kind of like, let's just stay local.
All kids, no parents.
The traveling thing during COVID is like kind of always in the back of your mind and chasing the nostalgia and like, it's just so stressful.
The obligation. Now, again, I'm just talking for me, a selfish dad who has handed over the right to my own holiday, which without me they wouldn't have, but fine, go ahead, take it. Everybody,
you're the gatekeeper.
Yeah. Are you the gatekeeper?
But it's like, for me, it's like Halloween's the best holiday by far now because it's just one night and we get to wear costumes. And Hannah likes to go around twice in two different costumes and fill the bag. And our neighborhood's awesome. And we watch scary movies and we fall asleep on the couch eating candy. And that's it.
Oh, yeah. It's perfect. And it's one and done. There's no travel. There's no obligation to meet somewhere. See, that's what's good about
weird traditions.
Imagine if every holiday had that like emphasis on it. Like, you coming back to see for St. Patrick's Day this year? You're like, I don't know. It's on a Tuesday. You know, I feel like Halloween and St. Patrick's Day have really risen on the charts for me. St. Patrick's Day, not so much for the drinking. I don't go out at night, like ever, and drink on that day just because it's too crazy. But it's like during the day. You know, like I'll take off, I'll go out to like a pub that day,
have a
few friends, you're home by dinner, like, just like fun. It's Irish. Yeah.
It's like a slow, good buzz, but you're not up till 4 o'clock in the morning unless you're me. This year, St. Patty's Day, I think, fell on Friday.
Yeah.
So that's always the best because then you skip work, everybody's leaving work early. Everyone's in green unless they don't have a soul. People I work
the
with.
Irish equinox. Yeah, people. everyone's celebrating. They're keeping their zeal about them for the holiday. I mean, Thanksgiving's a given, but
I think reigning champion as far as like the benefit that you get. It's genius because it's a Thursday, so. We get off 4 days in a row, automatically.
Perfect.
It doesn't matter what holidays you celebrate. It's American holiday. It's not religion.
Right. Yes. Yeah, perfect. Anybody can partake. And I feel like the day we've always said this: the day after the Super Bowl should be a holiday. But that's kind of needed in the sense that, like, you have Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then like New Year's, and then it dies down, and then Valentine's Day is just kind of embarrassing, and then you got the Super Bowl would like cap it off.
Super Bowl should replace Labor Day. What is Labor Day? Like, it's for everyone who works. We all
don't
fucking
wear white.
Work. How about give me the day off after the Super Bowl and appreciate my labors?
Yeah, that's what I need. And why do we work on? Why shouldn't you be working on Labor Day? Like, I never understood Labor Day. It honors workers. I'm like, that's what paychecks are for. Like, I'll take the day off, but I don't.
And also, the hardest workers are still working today.
Hardest workers are sweating right now.
They have no choice.
What's your policy on the Christmas? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was looking at your schedule.
Let's jump into it.
But yeah, no. I mean, I forgot. We already are. It was April Fool's. That was topic number uno. It's Matt McShay's birthday. I always forget his birthday's April Fool's. I always feel like I'm misremembering it. I'm like, no, nobody's born on April Fool's.
Right, it's like Amy Lutz in Christmas. You're like, why would they do that to you? It's like, I don't have a choice.
Hold it in.
Happy birthday, Matt McShay.
So, yeah, happy birthday, Matty. He, he's one of those guys. It was like us. Like, it's like, I don't know how else to think. I've been like this since 98 when we met. And here I am now.
Right, this is how I'm wired. This isn't going to change.
It's like, I wish we had those little ear things that like the Avengers just all seem to have, where they can just all randomly talk to each other no matter where they are in the galaxy.
Right.
Because yeah, I just come up with random thoughts and I'm like, it's too much to engage in a text, but I'd like to share it real quickly and then move on.
Right, because when I text it, at least for me, it's going to lose the spirit of what I'm doing. Now I just look weird. Like, it looks better in my head, but it didn't.
And it's like, are they going to read it in the tone that I'm hearing it in my head? Probably not.
Right, and then when you do that, and then the response is always like, oh, yeah, I can kind of see where you're going with that. You're like, no, I screwed it up. That's not at all. It's bad.
Before we get to the next topic, which yes. I'm excited about because I like where you're going, do you have people that you talk to semi-regularly to regularly whose text messages and text style and tone don't match who they are? And you're always kind of like, are you two different people? Are you like a different guy? Because I really try to express the most me that I am through text.
Oh yeah, you translate like, I don't want to undersell. Well,
you know, I'm like, I'm over the top, I'm loud, I'm obnoxious. So my texts are all pretty the same. You know, you're the same, Clark. Like, you and I can be really organized and like make easy to read texts, or it can be full of words that aren't real.
Right. Yeah, we can translate well in the, you know, via text. Yeah, I have one buddy of mine, and he's funny. He's like very animated and things like that. But on text, there's like no periods a lot, and there's no, like, I don't know what word is emphasized. So it looks like it's just a very boring, like, transcript. But, like, it'll be something funny. Like, instead of saying, like, oh, hey, if you say that, you're going to get canceled, I read it as, like, if you say that, you're going to get canceled. And I'm like, oh, no, it's a joke. Like, why? I don't understand. Doesn't translate well at all.
I was going through all the steps that, like, brought me to Heather, like, all the, you know, like, moving to Florida, getting this. And there was this one friend of mine who,
J-Ditch.
This friend is like the reason I started hanging out with Heather. Her name's Alana. She's like 5'0". She was at my wedding. She's hilarious.
Okay.
She texts without punctuation. So you have to sit there and do it yourself. Like, okay,
hieroglyphics.
I think that's the end. No, like, there's no periods. It's just, yeah, it's just like you said, it's just like a run on.
Oh yeah. 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 Like, you have
I'm
to
going
decipher.
To the store. And sometimes, like, the sentences aren't complete, but she just cut it off because she's like, oh, he'll understand.
Oh, the deciphering. Cable. And then there's the people that are, they type something or they text something and they don't finish it. So the bubbles are going and you think they're saying something. And then I'll be like, or, you know, like trying to figure out if we're done, if I can put my phone away or something. And then, like, I'll say something, the bubbles stop, and they start again. And I'm like, I know you're there. Like, you're thinking something. Where is this going? I don't know what's
happening.
Do you
know what it is? It's the text version of, I hear you breathing. Hang up. Hang up. I hear you breathing.
I'll hang up if you hang up. On the count of three. You didn't hang up. What are you doing?
You didn't hang up. Yes, I did.
You didn't hang up? What is this? But, yeah, I wanted to, that's perfect, though, because, there are people like that. You and I translate very well. I know some other people that you kind of get, what's going on the text, but there's others where it's like, are you angry or is, you know, and then you realize, oh, that's just like your text,
I'm like,
language.
Oh, it's like a little bit of a mask, you know, cause it's almost like, it's like shooting somebody. It's like, it's so far away. I'm doing it here. They're all the way over there.
Yeah. Right.
I'm behind this phone. I can kind of change myself a little bit. It's like someone's smile that's not natural in pictures where you see it. And it's like, that's not what you look like when you laugh. You're making up that smile.
Yeah, you know that they're faking it. And you're just like, that's not you. You don't look that way. Or when somebody uses like too many filters of the picture up here and you're like, that's not. That's what we call an iceberger. That's iceberging. You're doing that.
Nice boobs, but what else?
That's about it.
My friend texted me the trailer link, and I just saw the thumbnail, and I just saw Wes Anderson. And like I said in my trailer reaction, I confuse Wes and Wes Anderson and Craven. So for some stupid reason, I was like, oh man, horror movies. And I was like, I thought he was dead. Is he dead?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
Wes Craven. So I was really confused. And then when I watched the trailer, I was like blown away. I was like, oh, this guy, the guy that makes these turquoise pastel movies, they're all pastel.
They're all like
home video.
Right. They're all like the superlative adjective followed by, it's always like the Darjeeling Unlimited, the Grand Budapest Hotel, you know, the Life Aquatic with Dr. Zizou. It's always like
these, the Warden of the North.
The Warden of the North. Of
Seven Kingdoms.
Moonrise Penis. And the new Moonrise one that he just Kingdom. Did was, what's that?
Moonrise Kingdom, is that one?
Yeah, yeah, Moonrise Kingdom. And
Kingdom of the Flower Moon or...
Right, one something, of them, yeah. One of them I forget the name. Yeah, it is pretty good. But the new one is called Asteroid...
City.
And you've covered this on your channel. I've never seen it until I saw your channel. I get all my movie news stuff usually from you, trailer-wise.
It's so weird, man. It's like... Oh, I am looking for trailers daily, so I'm going to find a lot that people aren't going to even know about. Like Oppenheimer, there's been like no marketing for that. The trailer's just like an explosion in slow motion.
And oh, yeah, yeah.
Cillian Murphy's face. But like no one knows Robert Downey Jr. is even in that movie.
I actually haven't seen a trailer for that. Not on YouTube, not on any streaming network aside from your channel. Like they haven't. They have been pushing that, at least not.
It's so vague.
Yeah, it is.
Which I'm worried Nolan might be falling into a vortex of vague.
Yeah, the last few films, he's kind of headed that direction. But yeah, he's,
why don't you tell me the end?
It is what you make of it. Yeah, the next step is like, it's what you decide.
No. You decide. You're making it. You do it.
It's a $200 million movie. You need to make a choice.
Margot Robbie, Scarlett Johansson, Tom Hanks, somebody else, not Ryan Gosling, but like somebody in his, you know, casting line.
Maya Hawke, Ed Norton's in it. Bloom. I mean, an all-star cast, just to get all Adrian Brody's in there, Bryan Cranston.
Jeff Goldblum.
Jeffrey Wright, Liev Schreiber. It's like, you know what, it's like one of those, you know what it is? It's one of those movies, like the movie Bobby that Emilio Estevez did that didn't do well at all, but he had like every big name in Hollywood in it. And Coach Bombay. What's that?
Coach Bombay.
Coach Bombay.
Gordon Bombay.
Gordon, right, exactly. Gordon, let's go do some math after our careers. But it's like one of those movies where it's like, everyone will do this, because he didn't pay all these people, Steve Carell's in it. He didn't pay all these people the scale. You know, it would be like $20 million a person average. But so they all probably want to do this because it's like, it's going to be like Oscar buzz kind of
thing.
They
nail, this is, dude, I thought of this 5 minutes ago. I'm so glad you brought it back up. It gives these A-listers a chance to do not like an audition tape, but yeah, like an updated audition tape. Like, yo, look, I still can reach. I still have this movie's
good point.
Weird. I'm playing a weird character. Like the conversations are always, I always just feel like there's just one thing missing making this thing like a masterpiece. Like it's so close, but there's just,
it's just something missing there.
And it's like Shyamalan has it in a lot of his movies where I'm like, I'm going to think about this movie for the rest of my life. I'm not going to forget it. Dispatch, French Dispatch. Like 20 minutes in, I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And then it just like didn't get anywhere after that. It just like
plateaued. It kind of misses the mark. Oh, you know what it is with a lot of those movies too, and a lot of Wes Anderson's movies is just what you said. There's like that one extra thing missing. And it reminds me of Shyamalan where everything there is good on paper. Like Knock at the Cabin, which it was like a smart man's The Happening where they're like, okay, let's actually make something going on in the world. And tie some stuff. And there was like so many pieces there. It just like, there's something missing. I don't know what it was. And I feel like Wes Anderson does that with a lot of his movies. I haven't seen all of his movies. I've seen probably most of the ones he made in the last 20 years or something. And like, they're good, but I don't know. It's just like something there. You kind of wish it went a different direction.
I get a little annoyed with directors where it's like so obvious that they're making it, that like they remind you that they're the one that made it. Like maybe, I don't know. Maybe I need to retract that statement because sometimes when I'm watching a Tim Burton movie, I'm like, it's so cool that he's just so weird. It's just right. neat that there's a guy out there that's as weird as him, and they let him make stuff that we all get to see. You know what I mean? But like, yeah. sometimes it's like, tone down the just you doing you.
Right.
Like Baz Luhrmann in the Elvis movie. Example. Baz Luhrmann in the Elvis movie. I was like, get the drone out of Vegas. I've seen the drone do Vegas a million times in a million movies. Get it the fuck out of the sky.
Yeah, right. We know what Vegas looks like.
Oh, bright lights. Yeah, like, Jesus, this is a music video from the 70s.
Right. Baz Luhrmann, notorious with that. With, like, Elvis and Gatsby, there's so much drone footage, and, like, there's always two or three too many scenes of, like, the exuberant colors and, like, the camera glare, or the lens flare, I mean, where you're just like, okay, I get it. Like, it's larger than life.
J.J. Abrams, like, he did that lens flare thing a couple times, and it was like, whoa. And then it was like, he did it, and you'd be like, that wasn't important, though.
Yeah.
But, yo, I
like, it's Super 8.
I started watching Gatsby because I started getting, like, film fans, not remorse, but I was like, I'm a fraud. There's so many great ones out there that I haven't seen yet that, like, we didn't see in the one film class that I took. And I know Gatsby's not even, the new movie's not even really considered anything great, but I was like, I should at least see that one. It's DiCaprio. I was like, I've never watched anything with him that I've turned off. You know what? Right. I always get through every movie he's in. I always finish it. I didn't know Tobey Maguire was was in the movie.
Yeah.
I had no clue. I mean, I stopped after 20 minutes. I didn't care.
Yeah.
I thought of something else to do, Empire Strikes Back again or something.
Yeah, I'm going to fire up Empire Strikes Back.
But I was surprised that Toby was in that movie. I thought he had been retired since Spider-Man. He's in that new show, Extrapolation, on Apple.
I haven't seen. I'm not.
Haven't seen either. Another crazy cast. Crazy.
Which one's Extrapolation? That's like about the global warming.
I don't know.
Like, isn't Meryl Streep in that or something?
Yes.
Okay, I think I saw it from the comic, John. I think the comic, John, it's about, like, the global warming in the near future of, like, how we're going to live. Something like that. I could be completely wrong, but I thought I saw it on your channel.
I think you're accurate, but again, it's one of those trailers where I'm like, are you advertising what the movie is? Or are you just making it look way cooler than it is? I hate when you get to the movie and you're like, but that's from the trailer.
Right, right.
And now in the movie, it looks ridiculous.
You know who does that a lot? He's like one of my favorite directors, but Shyamalan does that in a lot of his movies. He does this thing where there's like one part in every one of his movies where there's news footage. It happened in Knock at the Cabin. There's a big part of it was the news. It happened in The Happening. It happened in Signs. There's always breaking news. Village. And what he does is he always inserts that in the trailer. So you don't know in the trailer it's part of a newsreel. So you're like, oh, there really is troops, you know, fight. Like in Signs, they're like, you know, troops have secured the borders. And they show like a quick clip of the military running. You're like, whoa, I didn't know that was in Bucks County. And you're like, it's just like stock footage. But he misleads a lot.
I know. I mean,
for trailer's sake, at least.
Well, it's a shame because he doesn't do the trailer. Like, it's such a stupid thing. It's like as much control as Shyamalan has.
Yeah. He's the production Universal's company doing the
until
trailer.
He makes his own studio. Well, no, they like sell it to some idiot trailer companies, which is like so stupid.
It's like, I'll take care of this.
It's like with the big firing over at Marvel of Victoria Alonso.
Yeah.
She's been there 17 years, but she oversaw, you know, the final draft. Yeah. Like, she oversaw VFX. And the biggest problem with most of the movies during the pandemic were the special effects, obviously, and the stories were so disjointed because they had to reschedule things. Chadwick Boseman died, you know, the pandemic.
You could tell they're a little older.
Sony owned December, but they were working these IT nerds to death
because these
IT companies like bid for the rights to do the Marvel movie. And so Marvel just picks the lowest bidder and works them to death. And they said this woman was like NASA.
Massive, crack, let's go. Let's go.
She took her Mexican rage out on all those white nerds coding, machete, making the quantum realm look like shit.
Yeah, and you know what those the IT guys or the VFX editors and things like that is during COVID, it makes your job like 20 times harder because you don't have the other people in the room to like quickly play off of. Everything's on a Zoom call or phone. Like the movie Luca was done completely separate, like in other satellite homes. So not only is animation hard,
Spider-Man No Way Home.
Not only is a movie like that hard to do anyway visually because of all the CGI and effects that go into it, but to do it like remotely and not in a studio where you, I mean, it's like, it makes it like twice as hard.
I can tell when a work of art had a deadline. You know what I mean? It's like,
yes.
When it was rushed. When you pin someone down who works primarily on inspiration and you put a clock, you're fucked.
Not happening.
That's like Chapek got fired. He didn't, it's not like he made them make those movies. He made them make those movies in that quick of a release. Like he's like, it has to be 5 shows and 5 movies in a year. So that's 10 fucking projects in 1 year.
Yeah.
Iger's like, so everybody's just cranking out crap. Shit movies with chopped up endings and reshoots till like the weekend before it comes out.
And you could tell too. You could tell watching it on Disney Plus. With Chapek though, he got kind of, I mean, I'm glad Iger's back. He knows what he's doing, but Chapek got he kind of got a raw deal. He got hired, he was the parks guy during the pandemic. And all of a sudden the number one biggest moneymaker is shut down. So it's like we got to rely on Disney Plus. We just launched and all these movies. So he had to keep bumping them out, and that's what you get. You can tell a lot of it's.
He had all these people trying to tell him what to do in a time that no one was an expert on like what to do with entertainment. It wasn't like we need to focus on quality. No, we need to focus on scooping the net as wide as possible and getting as many subscribers as possible because no one's coming to the park.
Right,
and it's like you put out a whole bunch of garbage and half-written, like...
Wasn't sewed together nicely. It was kind of just thrown out there.
If you've ever written and filmed and edited anything, you could see all the mistakes in all the, like, Phase 4 Marvel shows and movies.
Which ones? You just see, like actual...
Thor, Love and Thunder, Doctor Strange. You can just tell you were like, this is not the whole movie that they intended to make. There are chunks removed because they moved so smoothly. Like their stories were so easy to follow. And they're now like, you can just see the strings.
You can see that. You can see the scotch tape. Like bad cuts. Scotch tape. Bad cuts.
It's like hints to things that you're like, oh, they're gonna get back to that. And they don't. And then the way that Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield were brought in, there is no way. I mean, I know for a fact that's not how they were supposed to be brought into the movie with Ned all of a sudden learning magic, and that was like a whole other
backstory.
Another hero was supposed to bring them in from the character that's in Doctor Strange who can travel the multiverse. She was supposed to be Spider-Man, can travel the multiverse, bringing in the other Spider-Man. But that's because Sony owns December, they had to flip the release dates and they had to change the whole movie.
Yeah, switch it up. And that's why, And that's why when you read on like IMDb and different threads and websites, they're like, the reason for this was because there was a whole other part of the movie and the script that they cut out. So that's why this guy comes in all weird like, you know, and you see that in other movies too. You know, it's like the reason he had this black eye or this happened was because this whole scene and this whole part of the movie was cut out and they couldn't turn it around in time. So you're like, it's going to suffer, man.
I've been like showing Heather how to spot ADR, you know, like when they add in dialogue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you can tell like, oh, when it's like a bar scene and they're like, how you doing
it's
today?
Like,
it's like, no, it's that's like, not it.
It's like a lot of people's jaws don't move when they speak.
You can tell. Like, you can tell.
Jaw's not moving, but he's talking. Oh, they figured that there was a plot hole and they had to go like fill it in. So they had to make her say, but tomorrow, remember, you have the appointment. You know, they have to like address something that's like kind of relevant.
Yeah, you can see that too in a lot of like movies where they're on an island or a beach or something. Usually if they film on location, like the waves are like impossible to tune out. So in some stuff you can see like, you know, they're like screaming, they're on a cliff or something, and then it's like, we got to get to the top. I'm like, wow, talk about crystal clear audio from this guy. Like, it's perfect. It's amazing.
Dude.
I forget about that stuff quickly. Like, if I like the movie, the ADHD kicks in, and I'm like, I don't dwell on it. Or then I will focus on it. If I'm not really following it, I'm like, that's all I can see now is, like, this, how, like, bad the ADR is. Like, it depends on what it is. You know what I mean?
My favorite thing ever is Mystery Science, you know, where they're like watching the movie. The guy makes the two robots and all that he does is just make fun of old movies.
Yeah.
It's like a risky thing to try because it's like, how consistent can you make fun of the movie? Like, are you going to have 15-minute gaps with no jokes? You know, because there's nothing to make fun of. It's like, oh, fuck, we picked the wrong movie.
Right. What do you do?
I love picking apart mistakes and flaws and
errors
because it's like wrestling. It's like as soon as the bell rings, we're suspending reality on all levels for the most part.
And now we're going to pick it apart if we know the mistakes. You can see that too with I feel like Hollywood has done a good job with visual stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that can still go through. But with things like ADR and like plot holes, you're like, I don't know if that would happen. For whatever reason, I don't know why, and Jen, my wife, will like laugh about it, but I'm not a cop, I'm not a police officer, but for whatever reason, I've become an expert on police uniforms. So when I see in Stranger Things, Stranger Things, I'm like,
you were good with like uniforms, I remember that.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's bizarre. It's
visual.
Visual, but like with Stranger Things, I'm like, why is Hopper's uniform brown and the other police are blue? That would never happen. Your consistent uniforms in every police department, and like it happened in Jaws, like Chief Brody's wearing brown and the other guy's wearing blue. I'm like, no, it's you all wear right, the same like, uniform.
The chief wouldn't wear the shitty color first.
No, he would be like, I mean, they wore different badges, different like patches. I mean, but it's like stuff like that you're like, oh, you're just nitpicking.
And you can always tell it's ADR because it's like first draft dialogue. It's like they didn't think of any other angle to like get this information across. Like there's this scene in Hawkeye, I think, when they show like,
oh yeah,
or no, I think it's in Black Widow. But anyway, they like wrestle this girl down and they're trying to spray her with like the stuff to like unlock her hypnosis. And they wrestle her down and the camera is off Florence Pugh, but you hear, hit her with the antidote. I'm like, oh!
Hit her with the antidote. First draft mistakes.
What about, do you have it? Or hurry up and make sure you spray it in her nose. Or like just some other delivery other than just hit her with the antidote.
There's a million things you can do.
But Star Wars prequel dialogue.
They don't update with the, when things like, when movies come out from a script that was written like 3 years before, which a lot of them do, a lot of times they'll try to update and we'll throw in scenes like with the pandemic, you see like, all right, throw in a COVID thing so we can establish this is like post COVID and the times. Yeah. They do stuff like that. And I remember they did it with, I can remember this as a kid, Ghostbusters 2, which I don't think I saw theatrically. I think I just saw like VHS or whatever. But I remember when, you know, Jason Reitman as a kid in there, he's talking about like He-Man, and they all want He-Man.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Oh, like, at the birthday
wasn't
party,
big
yeah.
When that movie came out. That was like from 1985. It was like Ninja Turtles kind of time then. So it was weird that all the kids wanted He-Man.
85, I think He-Man was still kind of big.
He was. I'm saying when the movie came out though in like 89,
oh,
whatever.
That's right. It almost came out in like the 90s, I thought.
Yeah,
like
they were all screaming for He-Man.
Remember, because it was like, you know, that was a 90s thing. Like the two. Ghost given to peace. They wouldn't have gotten away with that in the 80s. Nobody would have understood it. It wasn't like retro yet.
Right. It would have been like, what is this? 90s
brought it back in the 60s.
Cowabunga.
Ghostbusters 2. I remember seeing it in the theater. It was
Did
awesome.
You really?
The pink slime river under the sewer.
Scary.
It was so great.
Yeah,
it's a little long. it's like one of these movies where
it is a little long.
It's a little long, but you get like all this like cool lore that can like fucking cherry pick from in all the sequels.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, whatever. That's what it gave us.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like John Wick 4 was. It was like the second act was just like a cool deep dive into the whole history of this like assassin world.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like you compare it to that. I have to say it. I haven't seen it yet, but
it's like, if you like development, even though it'll make it longer, development usually pays off.
I do. Yeah. The bigger the development, if it's done right, okay. You'll appreciate it more.
Hell yeah.
Ghostbusters 2, I don't remember if I saw it theatrically or not, but I remember like watching it so much as a kid. To this day, I actually like the 2 more than 1. Like, I know 1's a classic. It's got like, it's a perfect movie, but we've just seen it more. There's so many like lines you remember, and I mean, the characters.
There's this one YouTube channel. I forget what it is. I think it's like 3C Filmed or something. He's funny. He has a good sign off. He says, until next time, I'm Chris. Take care. That's how he ends every video.
Oh, it's nice. Really, what's it called? I'll check it out.
I think it's 3C Films. He does a rating, dude, at the end as a fan and as a critic. And I'm like,
cool.
For thinking of that first, because as a fan, Ghostbusters 2 is, I've seen it a million times. But as a critic, Ghostbusters 1 is like a flawless movie. Like, it has no fat. Like, it's just like,
yeah,
perfect.
It's perfect.
It's perfect. Ghostbusters 2 kind of dilly dallies, but I like the dillies.
Like the dillies.
I'm a dally.
Like Bill Murray said, he's like, he wasn't a big fan of 2. He's like, there's not a lot of us and too much slime. And if you remember watching it, there's like a lot of scenes that were in the trailer that weren't in the movie. And so like, I feel like if they put in one extra scene of the guys like getting some ghost, that wouldn't have changed my opinion on it. I think it was like, you know, great the way it was. Like, the slime was cool. It was like a new thing, you know?
And the bad guy was so, dude, first of all, Sigourney Weaver.
What?
It's like Meryl Streep and Sigourney Weaver. Like, oh, they should be in the same.
She's a national treasure, Sigourney Weaver. She really is.
When she goes, I'm telling you, sometimes I think that painting is watching me. I like get chills up my dick bone.
The hairs are standing up, watching me, even smiling at me.
She's so good.
This
dude.
Is his kitten.
She's so fucking scary.
She's so fucking good.
Only Zool when she's breathing heavy.
She kind of is.
Yeah.
Not kind of. Yeah. She's iconic as the first kind of like female superhero or hero, like, you know, heroine, because when she came out, when they did Alien in 1979, and she's the last surviving member and like destroys everything, they weren't making movies like that before with a female lead. Like, she kind of
there was just one, but you know,
right,
she's not a superhero, she's our princess.
She's a princess. It's just she's great.
She stole the Death Star plans and put them in R2-D2, got them to Luke.
Blew it up. She's the first. Yeah, she's the first. But Sigourney Weaver for kind of
lead
actress just tore it up. Yeah,
she's
sure.
So believable, and like, I don't know, she almost scares me a little.
Because of how good she is, kind of thing?
Just her roles, like when her like her character's just eerie. Like, I don't want her to be mad.
Yeah, I don't want her to scare me. I don't want her to be angry.
She plays like a 14-year-old. Did you see Avatar? I know we're going way.
No, I haven't seen the Shape of Penis, but the Way of Penis. I was gonna see that, but we got COVID like the week we were gonna go, and it took me like 3 weeks to negative. I didn't see it. But what is it great? Is she wonderful in it? Are you?
Oh yeah, she's the best thing about it.
Digging it,
and that's another reason why I'm like, holy shit, like, we need to all check ourselves and put Sigourney Weaver way up there. I think she's, we don't, there. Because her name's Sigourney.
It's like Sigourney.
And maybe because she plays such a badass, like, God.
Yeah.
She kills aliens.
Oh, she's great. She's fantastic.
I ain't afraid no ghost.
Have you ever seen Girls in the Mist? It's kind of an old Sigourney movie from the 80s. It's not great, but it's can be pretty brutal. And it's based on a true story. This woman, Diane Fossey, who's like a gorilla conservationist. She went to Africa to save the gorillas, and she lived in the tribes, and there was like civil war going on, and she ended up getting killed in real life. But Gorillas in the Mist, I think Sigourney won the Oscar for it, if I'm not mistaken. But she's so badass in there. There's like these like rival, you know, African, like, what's the term? Like gang lords, like just mowing down villages. And she's like just so badass in this movie. You're like, I believe that she is that. Like, she's tough. She's a tough chick.
She's the best part of Avatar, other than the special effects, which.
Yeah.
Is one of those things where, yes, you appreciate it, but midway through the movie, everything is adjusted. All of your eyes and all your sensories have like adjusted to it, and you're barely blown away.
Are you talking about the first
it.
Avatar?
No, the new one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because it's still pretty unbelievable. Like, they're underwater, and dude, I swear in the theater, I went like this. I thought bugs were flying around me.
Oh, you were really like, you lost the sense of depth.
They make it look really good.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's what you want, though. That's what you should. You should get from it, you know? You want to, like, feel it out.
The Phillies lost?
The Phillies lost yesterday, yeah.
Do you want to guess for your pleasure what hat I'm wearing right now?
I'm going to get... Oh, yes, I do. I love it. I love the hats. I'm all about them. Okay, can I get a hint, or... the hint would be, is it an alternate color hat, or is it the actual team color?
Okay, I'll give you more than one hint because the first one doesn't really help you much, but it is, it is a throwback to a team that has had many different logos and names, but they've kind of basically stayed in the same area. They just keep like changing their city. Their name always stays the same, but their logo and their city are, and they're even their title of their location.
Okay, so it could be either the New York Giants, which became the San Francisco Giants, Dodgers, Brooklyn, L.A., could be St. Louis, or it could be, I feel like there's a really obvious one I'm missing here.
It's almost like the Chargers. Like, they don't move, and they've only had, like, two cities. But their logo is, their fucking hat is different every year. I feel like they can never decide.
They can never keep it.
They have a whole bunch of like really classic ones. And they're like a sneaky team in a state that has a whole bunch of teams. You like forget they're in there sometimes. They have one world championship and it was within the last 20 years.
Okay. Then it would have to be the that team. If it's a state with many teams, then it's got to be California. Yeah. It would have to be.
You're on to something.
Texas.
No, you said California.
Okay. All right. Well, then it's not the A's because A's. It could be the A's, but it's not the right color. So it's not the A's.
And Oakland and Philly are far apart.
Hotlanta? I think I just saw a Braves logo sneaking down.
Well, that's this.
Okay. I'm drawing a blank here. What's the hat that the comic did? I mean, Cleveland Indians comes to the town, but there's not a lot of teams there in Ohio. The Reds and the Indians.
The first state that you said you were onto something.
California. Okay.
City of Compton. Well, not really. Not Compton.
City of Compton. So, okay. Anaheim Angels. Is that what it is? There it is. Perfect. I should have got that one. That's shameless that I didn't get that. Yeah, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Remember when it used to be in the 80s or the early 90s, just California Angels? Like, it was the most populated state, massive state. They like represented the state. You could be in San Francisco or San Diego. You could be an Angels fan. Like,
right.
You know, you didn't
understand. So boss hoggy.
Yeah, you didn't understand that growing up. I'm like, wow, that's a very pretentious team. Like the California Angels.
How about just Anaheim? Yeah, but we'll say Los Angeles too. What about the Dodgers?
That's a great hat, by the way.
And now that is a great hat.
That is a great one.
It's one of the classics. Because the one that I have, the other Angels one that I have, is like a red spring training one. And it looked dopey.
Oh, yeah. What the, like, is it the A? Like the,
yeah, I don't like the point. A. I don't like the A frame.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the C and the A when they were the California assholes, the California snobs.
Danny Glover played on the field.
I like this one too. Lloyd.
That is a
Lloyd
good Christmas. One. That is a nice one.
Christopher Lloyd.
Is that a new hat? New cap?
No. I haven't purchased a new baseball hat.
I was going to say, I didn't think you. I thought the collection was complete at this point.
Centuries.
Centuries. I got the last cap. Well, I like it.
But I've wanted a new one. I've started wearing like the ones that I never wore, like the Yankees, the Red Sox.
Oh, you're just throwing them out.
They're like perfect. They're like brand new. I'm like, getting a brand new hat.
Getting them in rotation. It's good that you switch it up. It's good to get
them out. So, speaking of baseball, George Bush, did he throw out the first pitch? Phillies, who did they play? I totally missed opening day because I'm a slave.
I wouldn't have watched it either if I didn't get the new MLB app with T-Mobile subscription, which is now free if you have T-Mobile, which I didn't realize until I jumped on Twitter and some random guy was like, if you have T-Mobile, you can get MLB TV free. And I was like, this looks like an ad, but it wasn't. So I Googled it and I went to the T-Mobile website and they were like, if you have T-Mobile, you get MLB TV for free this year. And I immediately like did it and I was able to get all the games. This is the night before opening day. So that's the only reason I even had it on. So I'm working and they played the Rangers, which is a weird team to in Texas. They played in.
Oh, that is weird.
Weird.
American League team.
Yeah. Isn't that a weird opening day?
It's a weird opening day. Strange. It's weird that the National League champions would have to play away. That's such
It's so weird.
It's like, and make them the birthplace of the country, force them to fly to the state that doesn't even want to be in this country.
Oh, the seeds of democracy were thrown to the breakaway state. You know, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
But Bush was there. Yeah. Bush was like in good spirits. W was there. It looked like he was having a good time. Because I think he used to own, I know he's a big baseball fan, but I think he used to own the Rangers or was a part owner, something like that. But
I think so too. I think he was like a part owner or he did before he was president or something like that.
Did something, so, right. I don't,
pretty,
Bob here. He'd
pretty neat. Know.
But they lost. They were up 5-0 and then fifth inning, they just got pounded.
Oh,
it was like 11-7. Yeah, Nola gave up, I think, like four or five runs, and they took him out, and then there was another two, and it was just the end of it. But it's tough for me to watch baseball on the phone. I'll tell you that much. I never really did that so much. It's kind of impossible for me.
It's like, get out of the way.
Get into it.
Get out of the way. There's so many other things Zing does than watch a slow sport.
That's the first
game of the year. Meaningless. 161 to go.
It was tough. It was tough. I was like, I can't really do it. I messaged one of my coworkers on Teams. And I'm like, she lives in Atlanta. She's a big Braves fan. I'm like, are you watching the game? She's like, yeah. My husband's at the bar, like, watching it. Are you watching the Phillies? I was like, yeah. It's not that exciting right now. I don't know. Opening day, it's more fun to be there, I guess. But I just,
yeah, and you almost like fool yourself into like thinking that the game like means something. You're like, no, if we get this, it's on the right track. Like, it's gonna affect what happens in August.
Somebody tried to say that. I was like, it doesn't matter. They're like, it's better to get straighten them out early on. I'm like, early on is like May, June. Then we can talk about like it's like, come
you
on.
Know what? It's good to get out before June. Injuries. Get everybody injured now. Get this
get
over
them
with.
Throw them loose. In. Get them in Christmas. There, snow out. Yeah, so that was opening day. It was less than stellar, I guess. I don't know. We'll see if MLB TV app, if I keep watching that. I think it was just novelty to say I had it. Because I told my parents, I'm like, oh, if you have T-Mobile, you can get this. They're like, yeah, it's great. And I'm just like, it's okay.
It's a shame. There's nothing like... There's no big matchup that I can really think of that, like, I mean, dude, it's pretty crazy. Like,
yeah, for teams,
the Super Bowl, like Mahomes and Hurts, as long as everybody stays healthy, they're going to be like the two top jerseys in the sport for the next 10 years. If everybody stays healthy,
right.
You know what I mean?
Like, keep they are, it's, wow,
they're butts and seats. They're Kobe and AI back in the,
oh yeah. And huge markets too. You have, you know, Philadelphia, Northeast's huge market, and Kansas City fans, they don't mess around. I mean,
they're crazy.
They're crazy. They're like the loudest team.
Chiefs bar in Philly.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's been just there like forever. Well, they were like the first Super Bowl, right? They lost they were in it.
Yeah, they played the Packers or something.
Packers,
but yeah,
Lombardi.
Chiefs bar in Philly. They,
But in every other sport, there's no like super draw. Like LeBron is like, so LeBron is like John Cena right now. Half the audience hates him, half of them love him.
Oh, good call. Yeah, that's so true. He's so polarizing.
Wrestler John Cena, not actor. Actor, he's great. Person,
he is great. Yeah, yeah, he is a great actor. And he speaks fluent Mandarin, too.
Yeah, like five languages. He's like the smartest. He's like the dumbest. He's like the caveman-looking guy, but he's like a scholar.
Right, he is. Do you ever follow him on Instagram and some of his videos and his reels, his stories? He, like, in the different languages, like, I could watch John Cena all day being John Cena. Like, I love his work.
Yeah,
love
he's
his
just
show.
A good dude, man. He's just so funny and like, he doesn't, I don't know, man. He surprises me big time.
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
not surprises
he's
me,
underrated.
You know.
He's good.
He just
really good.
He keeps going. He was on Andrew Santino's pod, what's it called? Whiskey Ginger.
Oh yeah, okay.
So
I haven't heard that.
They're in some comedy together, and it was neat watching those two talk and watching John keep up with him. You know, because Santino will go into like a bit because he's a comedian, and Cena will stay with him. Like, we'll keep up. It was pretty neat.
Oh, that's pretty cool. He's a great actor. His comedy chops too, I think, you're gonna see more of them. Like, he's good. He's versatile.
He's going to be in a lot of superhero DC movies because, you know, James Gunn's in charge.
It's going to be throwing him everywhere now.
Peacemaker everywhere.
Which I love that show. You and Bob turned me onto that.
So good.
I got the wife started to watching it maybe sometime during the pandemic or towards the tail end. And she's not really into those kind of movies. And I was like, just give it 5 minutes. It's the best opening of any show you'll ever see. Like, it's the best opening. She was into it. And, you know, she started watching it. I don't know how far she's in, but yeah, it's like, it's the best.
But enough about this movie drama. For the first time in the history of this young baby country, one of its presidents was arrested.
Indicted.
Because he paid a porn star to keep quiet about them having sex, which came out anyway.
It's all the Democrats' crazy, crazy lies to turn the election.
You know, I just got to say, it's such a bad look for this country to have a sitting
his head.
Former president
arrested. Shave his head. He's a prisoner. He's arrested. Shave his head.
Shave the head. Do the cavity searches. Let's see what's up there.
I like how people were like, Trump was a symptom, a result of the way this country was. I was like, he's been here forever.
Yeah,
he's just rode the wave of what, you know, like this country's disgustingness, stupidity.
Right. He's part of the
ignorance.
Problem.
Just hopped on the wave.
Yeah, that's all he did. It's ignorant. He hopped on the wave. And it's just funny that out of all the things they could get him for, which there's quite a few still pending litigation.
It's like 30 something charges.
Like 30 charges. It's porn
America's
star thing.
Worst criminal.
Like, how embarrassing is that? Like, that's what took you down out of all the other things.
He's like America's biggest con artist because he got away with ripping people off and like failed business, but somehow kept getting investors and people that like believed in him. Like, he conned like our country, like our public like 50 years. It was like the longest con. You know, like everything he's done has failed because he didn't know what he was doing because he's an idiot.
Casinos.
Good con man.
you just nailed it. And he conned votes in a voting forum. I mean, the Trump stakes and the Trump ties, like, it's just so shameless. But the fact that you own 3 or 4 casinos and those failed, like, they're designed by nature to just win. That's such a bad business tactic. He's just so bad. He released a statement, John. I don't know if you saw. You could tell after he was indicted, you could tell he wrote it because it was like very poorly written. Like he was angry. Like you could tell
redundant sentences, like the same
redundant thing. Sentences. Very like, this is a fraud, and it was like an official statement. You could tell he wrote it, and somebody like made it look pretty. But he said, this is just another ploy. First, it was Ukraine. And then it was election fraud, and then it was Stormy Daniels, and then it was Mueller, and then it was Ukraine again, and then it was Russia. And I'm thinking, you're naming like all these terrible things you've done. Like it was so bad. It was like
Ukraine and Russia are in all out 500 dead kids from it war.
Yeah, right.
Bombing each other with tanks, explosions, bombs.
Dead. It's a real real terrible thing happening in Ukraine right now. And
I'm like, you've lost a step, Trump, because for the most part, whenever you would come out and say something stupid, it would always catch me off guard. Like, there's something about it that's kind of, it's no wonder everybody's running behind him. But when he's like, political persecution, I was like, the alliteration, clever. I didn't see that coming a mile away. That's all you got now. Witch hunt, like it's you have nothing left. Like you're doing reruns now with your catchphrases.
Right, that's what it is. Like when you watch a movie and they're like, they find like the cocaine in the car and like, oh, somebody planned that. You know, it's like you don't have anything. It's always like a witch hunt, or it's the left side getting me. It's like the left isn't the one that indicted you. It was a jury.
You know what it is? It's like towards the end of the year, sixth grade, St. Jude Elementary, and I'm halfway through spitting out an excuse that I know I already used and not that long ago, and like my delivery just flops.
Right.
I'm like, oh, because the cones were stuck together.
My shoes fell off. They fell apart. That's why I'm wearing sneakers today. Mr. Lang used that last week. Okay. Which I think is real. I think his shoes like fell apart at one time. Like actually like fell apart or something. And he used that.
It.
Yeah. Right. But the Trump indictment thing though is just surprised it took this long, but I don't see him.
Smart people.
It's such a yin yang of thought process because when we first started this podcast right before Trump became president, like a year before, it was like right when he started like gaining, like people were like taking it seriously for the first time, even though he ran every 4 years.
Right.
You know, he tried to be president. And we were like, oh my gosh, he's the guy, like this isn't going to last. Like he's going to get canceled. And in a sea of cancellations, he somehow just didn't. No one, it didn't like affect him. He was like,
no, it's like the Teflon,
Donald J.
He just kept going.
And I was like, he just ignores it when like he says the worst shit ever. And people ignore it too. Like people that would be yelling at you for not wearing a mask don't give a shit when Trump says, you just grab him by the pussy. I was like, oh no, we're headed downward spiral, America.
Oh yeah.
If this is okay.
Right. Half the things he said, or most of the things he said for anybody else, even a famous person or whatever, would totally take him out of the game. Total cancellation.
Where are all the Karens and the soccer moms complaining about that language?
It's weird how that works too, because some people can get away with it because they double down and some can't. You know, like somebody like, it depends on who you are and how many people like you. I think Trump had so many followers of just people that they'll like him no matter what. Yeah. And you have somebody like Howard Stern, who's in a completely different sphere. Obviously, I'm not comparing the two, but he's done stuff on the radio in the past that he could get in trouble for. But he evolved from that.
He did
get in trouble. But like he, you know, evolved from that and he changes. Trump doesn't like change and move around. He doesn't learn.
It's the thing that everyone I hate it when people say like, you know, Stern sucks now. He's like an elite and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, he could have continued down making nonstop enemies and lose this fucking like out of this world, perfect 10 model from Pittsburgh, who's also like this humanitarian and saves animals. And like ruin that. Or he could get his shit together and be a millionaire and act like one. And he did. It's like, who wouldn't do that?
Of course. And you have to at that point. I mean, he's like 60. He's going to do the long form interviews. And that's like what you want. It would just be.
It's no more Butt Bongo. That's stupid and boring anyway. It would be like if Eminem was rapping about Vicodin stuff.
Exactly. It's
like,
it's perfect. Oh, Eminem was still doing the talking about Ken Kniff and stuff. You're like, that was like
season one.
Right. Season one. And then Trump never did that. So
because he's 80, and he's not, you know what it is. It's like he doesn't have as many sets, you know, like he doesn't have all these microphones in his face so we can blab away. And he's rusty, and you don't shake off the rust when you're 80.
No, you just have to quietly simmer down.
Biden's doing this thing on strings, which I prefer. Keep it so boring.
Oh, I'd rather have the boring string.
They have to dig to like make fun of him on a daily basis on Fox News. They have to like just create the dumbest, like most exaggerated, like full of metaphors that make no sense. Like, you can't follow the science if you're wearing a blindfold.
Right.
He was like, you shouldn't be on television.
Right. He paused for a second. That means that he doesn't understand anything he just said. It's like, no, it's not. It's not how the world works. But
you're an entertainer. Stop acting like you went to school and learned things.
Right.
You got by on your looks. It's now, the truth. And you're just, you're not retarded.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, point taken, my lord.
It's the
final thing I just wanted to say about the Trump thing is a lot of people were like, his supporters, they're going to riot. There's going to be all this stuff. And he doesn't have that kind of base anymore. He has a lot of people that still follow him. But after January 6th, when they're dishing out 20-year sentences, you're not going to have a lot of people rioting and rallying and do that kind of thing anymore. Like that kind of died down a lot.
I'm happy you said this, and I never really thought about it until you said it, but the reasonable Trump people are like, we probably don't want to go through that again. It's like, you're acknowledging like a whole bunch of people like just thought he sucked and he was not great.
Yes.
And maybe just not the best for this country. But I love how it's like Ron DeSantis. It's like he kept Florida working. He also let more people die than any state in the entire country by like 100,000 during the pandemic. Right. He killed Florida.
Right. I know. It's so sad, but it's true. Yeah. He kept them working, but he also kept the nurses working that were entubing ventilators for people that didn't buy into it.
As far as like personality, like DeSantis isn't on, meth like Trump. DeSantis is like on, I don't know.
Painkillers, where Trump is more like meth. DeSantis can play the game a little bit in terms of like appearance.
He's just nowhere near as dangerous.
No, nope. Not at all.
Even though he killed a lot of people.
Right. If it came between DeSantis and Trump, though, I would campaign for DeSantis if that was the option you had to go through.
I would vote Republican down the line for DeSantis.
Oh, 100%.
He's not trying to be Trump. He's trying to do stuff. Like, see, that's the difference. It's like he's such a dick. He's a Republican and whatever. He has plans and talks about those plans. Trump had no plan ever. Never did he ever have any like for the country. Here's what we're gonna do. He never did.
Well, he's gonna get smart people and fix it. We're gonna make great things. Well, how are you gonna do that? Great things.
I loved when he was talking about the wall and he said the word rebar. I go,
the rebar.
No, what rebar is?
No, it's not.
Because it's not on that wall. You fucking idiot.
The rebar. Yeah, right. We're building a casino. It's not a casino you're building. There's no rebar.
Does DeSantis right. have? In, you live in Florida. Is it? Is the climate down there like split? There are a lot of people.
No, he's. I mean,
he's solid.
I think he won in a landslide. I mean, I voted for him because you know why? I don't even know who the other guy is, and DeSantis has plans. I'm like, just try something.
Yeah.
Like, as long as you're actually doing that job, and what that job is to like try to change shit. I don't even care if he's going to war with Disney. I don't understand it. But
get to work
and you're working and fuck off.
Yeah, you're doing something.
Don't be Trump.
Right. Yeah. Anything. Yeah. No, I agree. I think that's a good point. Did he, he hasn't announced he's running for president, or did he, DeSantis?
Oh, I thought he did. I mean, there's been so many will he, won't he, show me yours.
Oh, he may have. I just don't know. I'm not sure. I feel like he will be the nominee, though, or it'll be him and Trump, like, going at it. I don't know. Yeah. Trump has a lot of people that will vote for him no matter what, but I feel like what you just said, there are people that did vote for Trump that won't because of all the shit that happened. I know there's people in my family that voted for Trump, too, that have said to me, I don't want to go through that again. Like, I wouldn't want to go through that again. I mean, he was so divisive. I don't know how, even if you think he has good ideas, why would, it's going to be polarizing again. Why would you want to go through that again? It was a nightmare.
The greatest thing would be, I mean, and this is so, it's so risky, but it's like he wins the nomination and he loses again. That would be better than him losing this one time, like getting crushed. Because you give him the one, like, oh, you can say there was something went wrong. But if you lose again, we cheated twice. You didn't catch us. Right. Like, you found no proof again, and we cheated.
Loser. Right.
That would be the ultimate slam dunkaroo.
It would be. Yeah, throw him down. He did that with the, or not that, but when he talked about the election being, you know, a fraud, and it was rigged, and they went to court.
Dominion. He just started saying things that people were like, what is he even talking about?
Right.
So name a company that nobody even knows.
Dominion. And yeah, they took them all to court and everything, and all the lies came out. And it's like, yeah, you can't really lie in court. You can't just say facts. You need like evidence and proof. It is the highest law of the land. So when that happens, it's like bad look. Yeah.
That was the greatest thing when
Bill Barr's great. Bill Burr and Bill Barr I mix up all the time.
One's a talented Boston
actor and comedian, the other one's, but I still mix them up all the time. It was Bill Barr.
When he was like, yo, you're just making it up.
He's just making it up.
You're saying that Santa Claus is on the roof.
Nothing.
No prints. No deer poop. You're just making it up. You're just lying.
Just making it up. Yeah, it's exactly.
And because you're the president, you think half the country will listen, but only a little less than half.
Just a little bit.
Thank God.
I know. Yeah, I was gonna say it's a good time to wrap up, but this was a great show.
Great show, brother. Always great.
I love you, man.
Love you too. All tight, so we have the whole tight. Tell them Mr. Cat and him have the whole tight. Tell them Chris Cross, everything is alright. Coming out the place and you're feeling right. You're coming out the place and you hold your girl tight. Tell them Mr. Cat, him and DJ tonight. Say all tight, and everything is alright. The day seems nice and bright and everything feels alright. I went to school without a fool trying to pick a fight. I was loped out, crisscross shirts and khakis. Looking and feeling like nothing but a the bell rang and I got my dash. Feeling good cause it was the last day of school and I passed. No mom's tripping, so me and my mom went dipping to celebrate the fact that I wasn't slipping. The downtown scene was packed, people screaming from Nayrod to my rod and shoot a man. I says I am what I am, that's who I be. And y'all should've seen how they was trying to get to me. Cool, cause this and them no pay. They're the reason why we are who we are till this very day. And all that love keeps me and Chris tied. Long as we give some love back, everything's alright. Hold tight, so we have to hold tight.